Well, good morning. We are certainly thankful for you and for your presence with us virtually this morning. As Keith mentioned in his comments a few moments ago, it is a little awkward, obviously, for us to be visiting virtually. But it's hard to believe we're about 4 months into this type of worship, and we are thankful for it. And we're grateful to have the opportunity to gather collectively as God's people. Even though we are separated, we are together virtually and in spirit. And so we're thankful for your presence again this morning. If you are watching on Facebook and don't mind, take a moment and hit the share button, if you will. And you can do this after the service this morning as well, but just take a moment to do that. And if you're on our YouTube side of things, certainly feel free to subscribe and like our service today. And then as we're very grateful for Brock and Tanya and all the hard work that they've been putting into making this happen this morning and just getting us up and going. If we still have a few kinks to work out, so be patient. So I ask for your patience. But also, I was actually watching on our website. Everything looked great there. And so just remember, you can go to our website and watch the service there as well. And it will be archived there as well. I want to start a series today. And I want to start this series on how to build a great church. Now, I want you to think about it for just a moment. We are on the heels of breaking ground for our physical church building, for the Fulcher Church of Christ. And how exciting is this for us? We are unbelievably excited about this. This is something that has been a dream for several years now, and it looks like it is coming into fruition, and everything is going in the right direction, and we're thankful for those that are on our building committee. But as we think about building a great church, and I know there's been a lot of prayer and a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of thought into building a great church, I want to talk for the next several weeks. We're going to spend some time talking about how to build a great church. And certainly, when you think about building a great church, one of the main things that comes to mind is truth. And so I want to talk today with you for just a few moments about truth. That is one of the important keys to building a great church. I can remember some time ago, and I've teased Robert about this. I've actually teased Robert in public at church about this, but I can remember one of the first comments that, or excuse me, one of the first calls that I had with Brother Robert, and this was after I had met with Robert and Mike and had a great conversation with them about the work. Then it was West Park. Of course, currently it's Fulcher Church of Christ. But they were excited about the work, and they were wanting to find the right person to come in. And I don't know if I was the right person or not. Nonetheless, I'm here and I'm thankful. But I can remember one of those first conversations with Robert after that first combined meeting with Mike and Robert. I was actually heading to Birmingham, Alabama to visit someone in the hospital. And it's about from Florence to Birmingham, about an hour and a half. And depending on traffic, it could be a little longer. But Robert called me up right as about the time I was getting on the road and heading out to drive to Birmingham. And Robert said, Charles, I want to talk to you. And I believe actually this was the next day after I had met with both of them on the phone. He said, I want to talk to you for a moment if you've got a minute. And I said, sure. He said, this won't take long. And I can remember talking with Robert for an hour and a half on that drive to Birmingham, Alabama. That's about like me saying the sermon's not going to be very long, right? And so I enjoyed that first conversation with Robert. But I can remember one of the things that Robert communicated to me about what was extremely important for the church and what they were looking for as an eldership. And one of the things that Brother Robert said, he said, we need a man who will continue to preach the truth. And I can remember that very vividly in my mind, and it certainly stayed with me, and I thought, you know what? I can appreciate that. I love that. You've got these elders who want a man who will come in and preach the truth. I had an elder named Paul Nutt several years ago when I was working with the Waynesboro Church of Christ. And Brother Paul was a wonderful man of God. He had served in World War II, and he didn't talk about it much. Only on a couple of occasions did he talk to me about his experience in the war. And most of the time it was very difficult for him to talk about because he had some very hard times. But Brother Paul was also a great man of faith. Brother Paul had one day while plowing in the field had a terrible tractor accident. It affected his leg. He was in traction for months and months on end. And he at that moment decided, I've got to turn my life around. I'm not living for the Lord. I want to rededicate myself. I want to get myself on track. And so instead of, you know, being miserable and looking at the difficulty that he was in, he said, you know what? I'm going to commit my heart and my mind to the truth of God's word. And so while in traction, not being able to move much and in a facility that was helping him, he started to study God's word. And Brother Paul eventually in my mind, I thought he had most of the book of Romans memorized. Now, all of this happened many years before I ever arrived as a preacher at the Waynesboro Church of Christ. But I remember after I had been at Waynesboro for some time, Brother Paul said, I want to tell you about a young man who was preaching, who came in. He was a visiting preacher, and I assumed that he was actually one of the individuals that was trying out for the position as minister for the Waynesboro Church of Christ. And he said, I want to tell you something about that young man. He said, now, I encouraged him the whole time he was here. And when he left, I thought, nah, we don't need that guy. And he said, one of the things that stood out to me was he said he preached two or three sermons and taught a Bible class. And he said, I didn't think he had an ounce of truth in it. And what Brother Paul meant was he said, he told a lot of stories, but he didn't share the word. He didn't open up the word. And so there are elders all over, just like Robert and Mike, just like our elders at the Fulshear Church of Christ, who want our foundation to be built on truth. And I would say that this is certainly true looking at our current success. This has been a priority from the beginning at West Park Church of Christ, now continuing on to the Fulshear Church of Christ. And I want to share as we begin a nugget of truth with you found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. And in this particular passage, one of the things I want to highlight in verse 8 is that this is one of those just those nuggets of truth that pops out that is beautiful. Because if you are reading 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you know that we're talking about prophecy and tongues, okay? Well, I'm not here this morning to talk about prophecy and tongues, but I think verse 8 certainly speaks volumes to this foundation, this key of being a successful church, building a great church on truth. And so in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 14, and if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? You know, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, no one is preparing for battle. Everyone just stays where they are. But if it makes a distinct sound, if it makes a clear and certain sound, then the troops get ready for battle. I think that is the heart of what we're saying with the truth and how absolutely essential it is to building a strong and a great church, is that the truth must bring forth a clear, distinct, certain sound. That we have to be clear in our message. That the truth has to be foundational for who we are and what we believe. Now, I want to talk to you first and foremost in this lesson, number one, about how we must believe the truth. So we have to be a people, and I know that this is already part of our foundation. I'm not telling you this as if you're not doing this, but I am saying this has to be part of our continued success, that we must believe the truth even when the world doesn't. That is the foundation for who we are. You might remember the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, hearing the word of God is the beginning of our faith. Now, it's not the sum total of our faith. We have to continue to study. We have to continue to apply the word of God. Certainly that was Paul's message to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, that we are to study so that we can be approved by God. Diligent workers we are, okay? And as we study and believe and embrace the truth, it certainly fortifies personally our faith. But think about what that does collectively. That makes the body of Christ stronger at full sure. Now, we have to believe what the Bible says. In Romans 3:23, we know that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone's a sinner for all sin. All sin. And this is a truth that we have to embrace and believe. Now, let me just say, some people use that truth as an excuse or for some reason to justify what they're doing. I'm just a poor sinner. How could I do any different? It's just the way that I am. Well, while that's a truth, it's also true that we have to continue to make progress and to move forward spiritually and to grow in grace and not in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we have to be willing to be a people who embrace this word of God. But some people, when they think about how we're all sinners, they use it to get better. They use the truth as a standard for their faith. Remember, it's the beginning of our faith. And as we grow, we start to become active in our faith. But this is the reason our world, one of the many reasons our world has gone nuts, is because, number one, there's no foundation of truth. And number two, there's using the excuse that we're all sinners as the reason for the actions. It just allows us to get crazy and to go crazy. When we stop calling sin a sin and accept anything and everything, then we've stopped believing the truth. You see, we have to believe and embrace the truth even if the world doesn't. Paul described those who have no fear of God in Romans chapter 3 verses 15 through 18. Listen to what he says. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I would say this is the heart of a world gone crazy. But in the church, we must be different. As followers of Jesus, we must be convicted in his word, and we must believe what God has to say. We must maintain high biblical standards, regardless of how far the world sinks into the depths of sin. Listen to what the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. So whatever they heard, the word of God, needs to abide deep within us, right? That which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning again, a second time, abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised, eternal life. You see, we have to let that which we have heard. Now that's in reference to the word of God, right? The word of God dwells deep within our heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Paul says, we need to allow the word of God to abide and to live, to set up residence and to move us to action in our faith. And there, just thinking about truths, specific truths that we must embrace, continue to believe that we can't turn to the right or left on. And of course, this list could be really long, but just to share a few thoughts. Number one, we have to continue to believe in the inspiration of Scripture. Regardless of who comes along and what writer or poet pins to words, how the word, in some way is inconsistent and it contradicts and it's not truth, we can't buy into that. Those voices will always, always be around. But we have to continue to believe, and give our hearts to the inspiration of Scripture. We have to also understand that the Bible, God has given us in His Word, the biblical account of creation. That we must believe what God says about how this world came into existence. The deity of Christ. And what we mean by that is that Christ was God in the flesh. That He was God who was in the beginning creating everything. Everything was made through Him and for Him, and there was nothing that was made without Him. And also He's the light of the world. And so we've got this God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. But we also, as we think about Christ, we believe in the virgin birth. We believe that He was born of a virgin. And certainly that's a belief that we hold and we maintain. We believe in the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And that we respond to salvation in obeying what Jesus told us in how to respond to this grace that He freely offers on the cross. And then we have to believe that life begins in the womb. We cannot negate this important, beautiful truth that life begins in the womb. We also have to understand the importance of humanity and that we are all created in God's image. But then I also think about the fact that under attack today is marriage, and we have to maintain what the Bible says about biblical marriage. One man, one woman, forever. But we also need to understand not only those fundamental truths that, and there are many more. We could talk about the one church. We could talk about the way of salvation. We could talk about the organization of the church. I mean, there's a lot we could keep on going with this list, but we also need to understand that we cannot compromise the truth, because you understand the truth is what will set us free in John 8:32. Now in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Now you might remember that in John 14 verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. You cannot separate Jesus from His Word. And so when you think about the Word that became flesh, the Word that we have recorded in the Bible, that's Jesus. He is this inspired Word. He is what we have. And so many people would not turn their back on Jesus, but they'll turn their back on what has been written in the inspired Word. And we can't compromise the truth. Understand the two are connected. You cannot separate them. If you deny the Scriptures, you deny Jesus Christ. But we cannot compromise the truth. We'll also face opposition to the truth. In John 15, verse 20, Jesus says, listen, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. I mean, if they oppose Jesus and the words that He was speaking on behalf of God, they're going to oppose us when we speak the same words on behalf of God. And then in this third point about we must understand, we must we cannot compromise the truth, and we're going to face opposition. But when we think of truth, we need to remember again, this is Jesus Christ. That's John 14, verse 6. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We need to remember this is Jesus. They persecuted Jesus. They persecuted the prophets who were before Him. We will be persecuted standing for the truth. Now, again, as we're talking here, we must believe the truth even if the world doesn't. The second point, and the only other point I want to make this morning, is as we think about truth being a key to our success and how it has to be a foundation for us at the Full Shear Church of Christ, we need to continue in it, is number two, we must teach the truth in love. Even if other churches don't, we have to teach the truth in love. Let me get you to think with me for a moment. Have you ever been invited to someone's house? You were thinking it was for a meal. It was a party. And you thought that a meal was going to be served. And so, you know, you arrive at the party, at the home of the member. You arrive hungry. And only to realize that once you get there and you start to observe what's going on at the party, that there's just a few finger foods that are set out, that it wasn't really a meal that you were being invited to. And so you walk around casually and you try to munch on the finger foods and you try to taste a little bit of everything without looking obviously like you're trying to fill up on finger foods. But once the party's over, you realize that you're still very hungry, right? And so you have to stop by a fast food restaurant on the way home, because you gotta satisfy your hunger, right? Well, at the Full Shear Church of Christ, we don't want anyone to leave hungry. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in Luke 4 verse 43, but he said to them, I must preach the kingdom to other cities because for this purpose I have been sent. We have to understand the priority of Jesus was to preach the kingdom of God. And the way that he talked about that in John 6 was he talked about it as the word being spiritual food, and that he himself is spiritual food, and that he's like that manna that came down from heaven, and that the word Jesus came down from heaven, and that he is what satisfies. We don't want anyone to leave the Full Shear Church of Christ hungry. We understand our main mission is to feed people spiritually. Jesus said he had to preach the kingdom of God, and we want to embrace that as a mission, knowing that people will come hungry, and we want them to feast on the good word of God. This is why we exist. We exist to preach the truth in love. Why? Because the word of God has been given to us by inspiration from God. And not inspiration the way a painter is inspired to paint a picture. Inspiration in the sense that this is literally God breathed. That might be a more appropriate word, is that this was breathed from God, this wonderful word. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, or thoroughly furnished for every good work. We must teach and preach the gospel of Christ. We must also continue to teach and preach the little ones at Full Shear about the truth of God's word. Start them early with understanding the importance of the Bible, understanding the importance of the foundation of God's word in our personal lives, but also in our collective church family life. You see, that's the legacy that we're leaving. We need to be training our young men to be preachers. All of the young men at the Full Shear Church of Christ, I hope that we instill in them a passion for preaching, a passion for sharing God's word. We need to be teaching others to be spokesmen for God, speaking on behalf of God's word. We need to help ground others in the truth. You might remember in John 17, 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. We need to help set ourselves as a congregation, as a family, apart by the truth. That's what we need to be sanctified in. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, that's that passage where Paul, in writing to the Ephesian brethren, he says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ. You see, when we preach the truth in love, we start to look more like Jesus. We start to conform more to his body, and we are connected and joined to Jesus as the head of the church. Now, let me just remind you, just briefly, that you need to be preparing food as well. You need to be taking time in your own personal devotion daily. You need to be setting aside time collectively as a family to study. You need to be doing everything that you can to grow spiritually outside of our family life meetings, outside of collective worship to God as the Fulshear Church of Christ. You see, I would just remind all of us that if you are depending on your spiritual growth to be all that it needs to be based on three sermons or a couple of sermons a week or a Bible class, you're not going to get everything that you need. You're going to leave hungry. You're going to feel empty in some ways. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not preaching the truth. It doesn't mean we're not teaching the truth in our Bible classes, because we are. But we have to understand that we have a part in this as well, that we have to spend personal time in study and devotion outside of our collective assembly times. You see, someone said the Bible is like a pool. It's shallow enough that a little child can come and drink without fear of drowning. Yet it's so deep that scholars can swim in it and never touch bottom. Well, are you going to stir up those waters personally? Are you going to embrace the truth and believe it? Are we as a collective family, as a collective church, going to continue as we're building a great church to teach the truth in love, even when other churches aren't? Absolutely. That's our foundation. Let me share a beautiful idea. Now, this is an idea. This is just my personal idea. And I don't know if this will ever work out logistically or with safety measures. I don't know if it will all work out. But I would like to dream for just a moment with you. Can you imagine as we start to move the dirt on that hill that we're going to build our church building on, and we get excited, and before long everything starts to shape up with the ground and the contour and layout of the property. And then not long after that, can you imagine the foundation being laid? And before long, we start to see that structure sort of come together. And it won't be long that it will be enclosed, and our anticipation level will be at an all-time high. We will be excited. One of the visions that I have is being able to get in that facility, that unfinished facility, before the flooring is ever laid, and to be able to write with Sharpie our favorite Bible verses. To just go in there and in each room and in every aspect of that building to write the wonderful Word of God. To talk about the passages that mean so much to us. To talk about the things that inspire us and move us. To talk about these things that fortify our faith. To just write that all over the floor of that concrete floor of our church building. Knowing that after that building is complete and we move in and have our first service, we will know that we are standing on the Word of God. And that will be a vivid reminder for us as the Fulshear Church of Christ that we are always standing on truth. The truth of God's Word in 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Family, that's our passion at the Fulshear Church of Christ. That is our heart. This is our foundation. that we embrace the truth, that we believe it with all of our heart, and we continue to preach it in love. I hope that you have a beautiful day today, and I hope you continue to shine bright. I ask if you would to just take a moment to share at the bottom of the screen our worship service today so others could watch it. If you're watching by way of Facebook, you can only do that on Facebook. If you have a prayer request, if you want to respond to Jesus Christ to obey him and receive salvation, then contact us at the Fulshear Church of Christ, www.fulshearcoc.org, and we will be happy to help you in your response. We hope you continue to have a great day. We love you, and so does God. Thank you.